الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه وجنوده أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ما كان لنبي أن يكون له أسرى حتى يسخن في الأرض تريدون عرض الدنيا والله يريد الآخرة والله عزيز حكيم صدق الله العظيم يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم and the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم had to decide the fate of the captives, of the prisoners. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم had mentioned لو كان مطعم بن عدي حيا ثُمَّ كَلَّمَنِي فِي هَٰؤُلَاءِ النَّتْنَى لَأَطْلَقْتُهُمْ لَهُ. He says that if Mut'im bin Adi had to be alive, and then he spoke to me regarding these filthy ones. They were kuffar, kuffar is filth, impurity. So if he had to speak to me regarding these filthy ones, I would have set them free without taking any ransom because of him. Now who was Mut'im ibn Adi? Mut'im bin Adi had assisted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on one or two occasions. When Rasulullah sallam returned from Taif, he had given Rasulullah sallam protection and asylum. And similarly, he was very instrumental in putting an end to the boycott that was against the Banu Hashim. So because of this favor of Mut'im ibn Adi upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not forget this. A kafir did a favor to him. But he said, if that kafir who did this favor to me, if he had to speak to me regarding these people, I would have set them free. Showing to us the importance of not forgetting the ihsan and favors that people do to us. Nevertheless, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made mashura with the sahaba radiallahu anhum, and he says to them, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَمْكَنَكُمْ مِنْهُمْ وَإِنَّمَا هُوَ إِخْوَانُكُمْ بِالْأَمْسِ. That Allah has given you power, given you control over these people, over these prisoners. But remember, yesterday they were your brothers. Meaning they are your close family members. Many of them are related to you. So keep this in mind, and then you can give your suggestion, what should be done regarding them. Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiallahu an, and most other Sahaba radiallahu anhum, felt in the same way as Abu Bakr radiallahu an. He mentioned to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that these are our close family members, we rather take ransom from them. And in taking ransom from them, this ransom will assist us. We are going through financial constraints, so this ransom will assist us, and inshallah, on their side, Allah will bless them with hidayat. So it will work out good for us and good for them. If we have to kill them, they will be dying on kufr. But if we have to take ransom from them and allow them to live, then inshallah, they will be blessed with hidayat and they will become supporters of Islam and the Muslims as well. So there's only good in taking ransom from them. There's no bad side to it. However, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu an, he says, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my suggestion is, every sahabi who has a close family member among the captives, you hand over that family member to him and he must take that person's life. So give Abbas radiallahu an to his brother Hamza radiallahu an. Give Aqil radiallahu an to his brother Ali radiallahu an. That family member of mine, you hand him over to me and we will take their life. So this was the rai and the opinion of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu an. Again, the point that when there is something which is subject to a rai, subject to an opinion, then there will be different opinions regarding that issue. Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu an say, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make a big fire and burn all of them. So these were a few sahaba who felt that they should be killed. However, majority of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were inclined to taking ransom. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after some time, he says to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that Allah makes certain people's hearts so soft that it's softer than milk. And certain people's hearts, Allah makes it so hard that it's harder than rock. And then he says to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, O Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, your example among the malaika is the example of Mikail alayhi salam. Mikail alayhi salam brings rain, he is in charge of sustenance, of rosy. So he brings good. So your example is the example of Mikail alayhi salam. And among the Anbiya alayhi salam, your example is the example of Ibrahim alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salam, referring to two incidents in the lives of both these Anbiya. We don't have the time to go into these incidents where they displayed a lot of compassion, affection for the ummah, affection for even disbelievers. And then he says to Umar radiallahu anhu, O Umar radiallahu anhu, your example in the Malaika is the example of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam brings difficulties on the enemies of Islam, on the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's in charge of bringing punishment. And your example among the Anbiya is the example of Nuh alayhi salam and Musa alayhi salam. Nuh alayhi salam had cursed his people. Musa alayhi salam had cursed Fir'aun on certain occasions. So because of that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to Umar radiallahu anhu that your example is the example of Nuh alayhi salam and Musa alayhi salam. Meaning there are precedents for both of y'all. For both of y'all there's examples among the Anbiya alayhi salam, among the angels. None of the rise, none of the opinions are wrong. However, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a personification of mercy. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an embodiment of mercy and compassion. And because of that, naturally Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was inclined to the opinion of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the opinion of taking ransom and setting the prisoners free. There was no clear-cut command that came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what should be done. Rather, it was handed over to the decision of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. In fact, one riwayat explains that Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says that Allah gives you all a choice. Give your Sahaba radiallahu anhum this choice that if they wish, they may kill the prisoners. And if they wish, they may take ransom and set them free. However, if they opt for the second one, taking ransom and setting them free, then next year, the same amount of lives would be taken from you, meaning 70 Sahaba will be made shaheed in future. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they think to themselves that on one hand, shahadat is a very great thing. If 70 of us have to be blessed with shahadat next year, so that's a great honor for us, that 70 Sahaba would be taken as shaheed. And immediately what would happen is we would get strength because of the wealth, the ransom that will come in, we will get strength, and looking at the financial constraints that we are in, this will be a great support for us. Therefore the Sahaba radiallahu anhum inclined for this, that we will take a ransom and we will set them free. Therefore the next year during the Ghazwa of Uhud, 70 Sahaba radiallahu anhum were made shaheed. However, despite Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving the option to Rasulullah and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and they decided in this way, later on, an ayat of the Quran Sharif came down, مَا كَانَ لِنَبِيٍ أَن يَكُونَ لَهُ أَسْرَى حَتَّى يُثْخِنَ فِي الْأَرْضِ, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had corrected Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that the better thing for them to have done, seeing the circumstance that they were in, that they were still weak, and the kuffar were very strong still, despite all the losses, they still had a lot of might and power. So given this circumstance, it was better for the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to take the lives of these 70 prisoners, and in this way they would have weakened the kuffar even further. However, this was not a sin of Rasulullah SAW, na'udhu billah, Nabi SAW is sinless. This was a choice that Allah had given him. Later on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had corrected Rasulullah SAW that the better option would have been to take the lives of these captives and these prisoners, as was suggested by Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhu. This is one of the muwafaqat of Umar radiallahu anhu. There are more than 20 occasions when Umar radiallahu anhu suggested something, and later on wahi came to support the view of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, and one of those occasions was this occasion regarding the prisoners of Badr. The ransom amount varied according to the financial standing of the prisoner, how much he could afford, how much his family could afford. There was variance in the amount that was taken between 1,000 to 4,000 dirhams. And those that could not afford it and were literate, they knew how to read and write, then their ransom was that they must each 10 children of Medina Munawwara to read and write. This was the ransom. Once they taught 10 children to read and write, among those that learnt in this way was Sayyidina Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anh, the famous scribe of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these children were taught how to read and write, and this was the ransom for those that could not afford to pay it. And those that could not even do this, then Rasulullah set them free without taking anything from them. Among the prisoners, one prisoner, a very important prisoner, was the eldest son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Unfortunately, many of us don't even know the name of the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyiduna Abu al-As ibn al-Rabi' radiyallahu anhu. He was married to the eldest daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyida Zainab radiyallahu anha. At that time, he was still not a Muslim. He had come with the army of the Quraysh, part of the army of the Quraysh, and he was taken as a captive. According to the decision that was made, his wife, the honorable and respected daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyida Zainab radiyallahu anha, who was still in Makkah Mukarramah because of her husband being a non-Muslim. At that time it was still permissible for a Muslim woman to be in the nikah of a non-Muslim man. Later on it was made impermissible. So she sent some wealth as a ransom for her own husband, sending this wealth to who? To her own father. There was no such thing like, it's my father, I'll just send him a message that he must set my husband free. No, she followed the system and she sent this wealth. And in this well that was sent was a necklace that was given to her on the occasion of her marriage by none other than her respected mother, Sayyida Khadijatul Kubra radiallahu anha. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees this ransom, it was a very emotional moment for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. رَقَّ لَهَا رِقَّةً شَدِيدًا. The words of Sunan Nabi Dawood. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became very, very emotional. On one hand, it's his son-in-law that's a captive, and his daughter is stranded in the midst of the Quraysh. And the necklace that is being sent, it reminds him of the days of his respected and most dear wife, Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha. Because of this emotional moment, and because of the emotions of the situation, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam suggested to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. He did not make a decision. He had the full right to make a decision, and Sahaba would have been totally pleased. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not make a unilateral decision. He just suggested to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, إِن رَأَيْتُمْ أَن تُطْلِقُوا لَهَا أَسِيرَهَا وَتَرُدُّوا عَلَيْهَا الَّذِي لَهَا. It's a very emotional moment for me. It reminds me about my late wife, Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha. If you feel, then you may set her prisoner free and send back this wealth and this ransom that she sent. Together with this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a condition, and the condition that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made on Abu al-As radiallahu anhu is that when you go to Makkah Mukarramah, then you should send my daughter Sayyida Zainab radiallahu anha to Madinah Munawwara. And in keeping with his pledge and his promise, he was a very, very trustworthy and honest person. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, haddathani fasadafani wa wa'adani fawafali. He spoke to me, he gave me his word and he fulfilled his word. He promised me and he fulfilled his promise. When he went to Makkah Mukarramah, immediately he sent the daughter of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyida Zainab radiallahu anha, he sent her back to Madinah Munawwara. This was the condition for him to be set free. So in this way, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had taken ransom from the prisoners and set them free. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the true love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with love for the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, love for the sahaba radiallahu anhum. We should try and make it a habit daily in our homes to read a little regarding the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, in the English language also now, they are detailed, very well-written kitabs. One is Siratul Mustafa of Mawlana Idris Kandalwi rahmatullah alayhi, has been translated in English. There's a detailed version also, and there's a concise version. We try and read this daily in our homes, with our children, and inshallah we will find that the love for Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be kindled in the hearts of our children. And when they have the love for the sunnah and the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then they will not be impressed by any other ways. Nothing else will impress them, because this has got all the attraction, it has got all the beauty in it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to have true love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to emulate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every aspect of our lives. May Allah reward Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on our behalf, and on behalf of the ummah, the best of reward. Jazallahu anna nabiyyana muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima huwa ahlu. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward the sahaba radiallahu anhum on our behalf and on behalf of the ummah for all the sacrifice that they had done for deen. If it was not for them, then deen would have never reached us. They were the foundation of deen. They had to make all the sacrifice for deen to reach us today, and in a similar way we will have to make sacrifice for deen to continue for our future generations to come. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise us on the day of Qiyamah in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the company of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, in the company of the Ashabi Badr, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with us. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadi wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.